Hello, and welcome to the GameSlave Podcast, episode 130. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week, hopefully Audacity's working now.
We're keeping our fingers crossed.
It's a great free program, but it's still not as robust as some of the ones that you pay for.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's surprising quality, I mean, for free. It is, you know, it is a workhorse, really.
It does a lot of cool stuff for the price you pay for it. With a lot of filters, and people add stuff to it. And if you know what you're doing, you can do a whole lot more than I do.
Yeah. Anyways, it's been a week of, well, old school gaming, I guess, for Zelda Queen and I, and little gaming for Assimilator.
Yeah, typically I do most of my gaming on Saturday, and I spent that calling insurance companies and trying to set up a rental car.
Yeah.
I found that most enterprise rental cars close at noon on Saturday.
Ooh.
That seems like a very odd time, very...
Banker's hours.
Mm-hmm. So, and there was only one open today, so I had to go downtown.
Oh.
Boo.
You think the one by the airport would be open?
They don't deal with the airport. The insurance company doesn't. Apparently they've had issues. Plus 18% tax, or is it 8? No, it's some ridiculous tax percentage at the airport.
That's true.
So at least going all the way downtown, I have like 7% instead of
18%.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I had one time I was out of gas, and this was like 10 years ago. And so, and I was out by the airport, and the only gas station was at Conoco.
I'm sorry.
Thankfully I was out of gas in my work truck. And so I wasn't paying it, but I feel bad. Sorry guys.
Well, what you do is you just fill up enough to, you know, we'll get you back.
That's what I did. I did like 5 gallons, and I was like, okay, I'll get to Brighton or something.
10 years ago? The King Supers might have been there off of Tower and Green Valley then.
I was really nearly out of gas, and I was at the, I was working at the airport in construction stuff,
awesome.
And I was over on the kind of north side of the airport. There's an entrance off of 96 that for contractors at the time.
Wow, you were way out in BFE.
It was that runway that's the furthest east now, was what we were working on back then.
The one, the really big long one for the super big.
Yeah, the one that is designed for the super jumbo jets, yes.
Boy, I bet the people listening don't really care about any of this right now. But it's interesting to us.
But yeah, Zelda Queen and I have been playing a lot of Final Fantasy Tactics now.
Final Fantasy Tactics Advance,
we should clarify.
It's because we have to fight over Game Boy, because currently we only have one
that will play
Advance games, because, well, I think one of them of mine got taken, and the other one,
we both had DS Lights that were stolen in the robbery, and we haven't replaced them yet.
Though, I should just steal back my GameCube, because I remembered after seeing the cover here, I have the little attachment that goes on the bottom of the GameCube, so you can play Game Boy Advance games. On your television.
Yeah, you should do that.
Nice.
Yeah, but my GameCube's currently at my parents' house, so I haven't been over there this week.
The other issue with that is that the battery in my...
is a little wonky.
SP seems to be a little... I don't know.
Wonky.
It's weird. It after about 2 hours of play, it thinks it's low, which is not what it should be. And it has a... not to me, I guess, yet, but to Zelda Queen, it's just reset a couple of times.
Yeah, I can't seem to figure out exactly what causes it to do it. It seems to be random right now. One time, it's because I left it in, like, the menu file, because I had to go do, like, switch out the laundry, and when I came back, it had, I don't remember if it reset itself or shut itself off. And then another time, I was in the menu showing Proteus, my former team, that I don't know if I could ever get to the such greatness it was, but it just randomly reset itself. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
But we both restarted files just because I had no clue where I was doing anymore. I was like, I spoke last week, and I was trying to figure out what all of these characters were and what they were doing, and I think actually, you know, looking at, like, the player's guide and thinking about more, I think I didn't plan very well, and so my characters have, like, too many different jobs, only, like, one or two abilities in each one, and it's not terribly useful, because you only can basically take two sets of job abilities, at least, like, main, like, attack active abilities with you into combat, and so it's better to have someone who has, like, all of, you know, say, like, the Black Mage abilities, rather than he has, like, two Black Mage abilities, two Animist abilities, and two Mog Knight abilities or something ridiculous like that.
So basically you had a bunch of Jack of All Trades, Masters of None.
Yeah, and the problem is you can't take all of the, you know, all of the trades with you at a time, so you end up with a guy who's just not very good at anything.
Meanwhile, my old group was, I was like, oh look, I have a Max Ninja. I had like three Max Ninjas, practically, and a Max Assassin, and a Max Sniper, and a Max Illusionist, and I was working on my Summoner, and my Red Mage almost had double cast, and a lot of this is specialty stuff that I have to steal.
You're very much, you're not going to see me, and I'm going to slash your throat, weren't you?
Hey, the Assassin, Ninja, and Sniper class are all awesome, mostly because they have...
They all have insta-kills.
Nice.
They have insta-kills, they have great attack power, they can move across the field very quickly, and the Sniper can do the same thing too. The thing is, you can put the Sniper with the Assassin, and then not only are you deadly from afar, you're twice as deadly because you can do the Assassin one-shot kills with your bow.
Awesome.
I'm trying to remember which job it is that has the stealth. Is it the Assassin or the Sniper?
I don't remember.
Go Strategy Guide. Okay.
This is what I got when I renewed my Nintendo Power way back in the day.
It's one of... it'll be back further because it's Vera, I thought.
No, Vera is further. It's...
Well, there's a sniper.
No.
Conceal.
Conceal. Oh, yes. Turn yourself
transparent.
It's the
sniper ability. Yeah.
You just go and hide somewhere. And then when something gets close, you go stabbity, stabbity. Yeah.
Nice. Although the sniper, I don't think you want that get close part.
No, but
the
ability...
it lets you get like flank and get positioned like behind kind of the enemies.
That's yeah. Cool.
Because the sniper is a weird thing. You need the bows to learn the attacks, but you don't actually have to have a bow to do them. Like if you equip like another item that they can use, then
which must be very happy when they forbid bows from battle.
Yeah, because then you just switch them into the Assassin class, so you can still use all the abilities, even if you don't have the bow.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in my game, I know I'm using the laws strategically. There's a mission that Zelda Queen did a bit before me, wherein there's a really powerful Ice Mage. And so I have purposely gone to that mission on a day when Ice Magic is forbidden.
Nice.
Oh, I just at least wander around the map until I could go there on the right day.
I guess I should. I just was thinking about that. If the guy has a little medal on his name, it doesn't matter how many times he breaks the law, the judge will never truly kick him out. He can get card after card after card, but if they have a little medal by their name, they kind of turn a blind eye. They might give him a few yellow cards, but they won't kick him out completely.
What do the cards do if you're not getting kicked out?
I don't know.
The yellow cards don't really do anything, but if you have, it's kind of like soccer, where if you have a couple of yellow cards, you're then more likely to get a red card. I mean, soccer, it's literally, you know, you get two yellows, you get red. In Final Fantasy, it's more loosey-goosey. It's like, the more yellow cards you have, the more likely you are to get a red one. If you get a red card, you're thrown in jail immediately, and you some penalties assessed. Sometimes it's like, you lose money, you lose an item, things like that.
Okay.
Don't get slapped with the cards, because it's costly. Especially yeah. If Marche, your main guy, gets slapped, then you can't do anything. Like, you can't do other missions or anything until he gets out of jail. Okay. And then after then, you have, like, a week penalty, so you have to wander around on the map until a week's gone by. Yeah, that sucks. So yeah, that's what we've been doing. Fighting over the Game Boy to play Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. I do a lot of my playing on Monday.
Yeah, and we've been continuing along in Doctor Who. And we watched Blink, which is, I don't know, one of the scary episodes, I think.
It's a fun episode, though, in the terms of how they communicate.
Yeah.
Throughout the episode.
That was entertaining with the DVDs.
The explanation of time is, you know, a whole, more of a big ball of timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff.
Which would explain why the Doctor doesn't know anything about it yet.
Well, and it's really funny. I was like thinking back, and I was like, the whole episode is a time travel paradox, in essence, because you're, all of the events, there's basically no causality that exists in that episode, because all of the events are happening because the other one happened. I don't know how to explain it. It's like that the video that the Doctor makes wouldn't have been made unless
somebody else had got sent that. No, it wasn't.
Her name, the woman that was like the main character in the
episode. Oh, Sally Sparrow?
Sally. Wouldn't have been made unless Sally had encountered the angels and survived. But she wouldn't have survived the angels unless she had the video.
Yeah. It is one giant paradox inside of itself, isn't it?
What does the Doctor say? Timey-wimey, whatever.
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff.
Yes. Also, the timey-wimey detector is hilarious. It's like a lunchbox with stuff pasted to the outside of it.
I like the little postcard of the sailboat in like some tropical location. I'm like, ah.
I just liked how the angels were like the most passive-aggressive assassins ever.
They just... Well, no, they just... They don't kill you. They just send you back in time and let you live to death.
Most passive-aggressive assassin ever.
Yeah, because they take your potential of the future, but now you're in the past, and the fact that they hide themselves.
Hey, that's a great disguise. Except for the fact that, how do they mate? How do you continue?
I'm inclined to think that they're manufactured by somebody.
Yeah, that was my thought.
They were made by somebody. Not natural, not a, you know, result of natural evolution.
Maybe.
Still, to be honest, a lot of the Doctor's adversaries are manufactured.
Yeah? Because I guess Daleks are basically manufactured.
Yeah, they're made by a guy called Davos or something like that. I haven't seen old Doctor Who, so I don't know all the backstory on Daleks. Cybermen are manufactured by kind of themselves.
Well, eventually
out
they were...
of humans.
Yeah. Well, they were done by that one dude initially in season 2 of the new series. I mean, I know they're older than the new series.
Yeah, but they were in like a different... They were on a different planet.
They were in a different dimension before. Well, yeah, they were on a different planet in a different dimension before.
Because they were from the other Earth in the new one.
Yeah, the new one, they're from the other Earth, and then they came over to our Earth to try and invade it, and that didn't work out real well for them.
No, because they ran into Daleks.
You are superior one way. We're better at dying.
I still love the Cybermen line. The Daleks say, the Daleks have no sense of aesthetic. That is obvious.
Yeah, because I have a little egg beater, and a shooter, and a plunger.
Hey, that is a dangerous egg beater and plunger combo.
Or paint roller. I was looking for costume ideas, and I saw some people who were doing sort of like human-like Daleks and things, and they had like a plunger, but they were using a paint roller where you put like the brush on it and taking off the metal like handle bit, and it worked perfectly. It looks exactly like it.
Nice.
I also found a very good cos dress of a female 11th Doctor with a female TARDIS. It was actually, they looked really awesome. It was very good.
Cool.
Wait, was that the 11th Doctor?
Yes, because she had the little tweed jacket and the fez.
Maybe I'm wondering what happens when they actually get to when it's ready to retire the 12th Doctor when he eventually comes around.
Yeah, because isn't there...
There's supposed to only be 12.
Yeah, regenerations, yeah.
But nobody knows if that's actually canon. I mean, that they've heard that, but there was also one time when somebody said it could be 300 plus regenerations. So nobody actually knows what it's supposed to end at. So it's like, so are they just going to go, it's like, eh, we lied about the whole 12 thing. Or is that when they actually have to end Doctor Who? Because so far they've gotten around quite nicely with being able to change up the Doctor's actor every time they needed to.
And it's a fun device because it also lets them, because it isn't just, you know, he's being played by a different actor. He's a slightly different person as well, because his personality changes a little bit from...
Yeah, I mean, it allows them to keep it fresh. It allows them to introduce new characters while keeping the same character.
Yeah.
Wow, that makes no sense when I say it out loud like that.
There are some bits of the Doctor that are fundamental. There's a certain level of kind of whimsy and fascination with the world that, and the universe, I should say, that is intrinsic to him.
And his, how much he admires how humans persevere.
Yeah. But, I mean... From what I understand, the newer doctors are a bit more violent, I guess, would almost be the better word, than the older doctors. Like, basically, he's kind of scarred from the Time War, he doesn't give people as much, you know, he gives them, like, one chance. If they mess it up,
I actually
then he is...
That actually always impresses me, like, The episode where he temporarily becomes human.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we just watched that. That I was like, the fate of those people. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, the guy's like,
Graham's like, Doctor, why did you? That's awful.
He tried to give them the benefit.
That's why they said that he was being kind. Was that, like, by him hiding, he was making sure that it was a win-win sort of situation for everybody. But because
they were so
persistent
on getting his body, it's like, yeah, we didn't realize he was doing us a favor by running. It wasn't because he couldn't fight us. He was trying to be nice to us. Because, spoiler for people that haven't watched
the episode.
Like, we haven't already spoiled some stuff. He ends up fighting this, what's called the family. And once he takes them down, he throws one into a black hole.
Well, into the event horizon of a black hole, which, scientifically speaking, basically, you never actually will hit the bottom of a black hole because time stretches out as you go in, and so it's just an infinite, you know, fall into and being stretched. I mean, I suppose you would eventually probably, I guess you'd die, maybe, but it's the,
it would take millennia.
Yeah, essentially. It's a weird thing. It all has to do with relativity and such.
And then, let's see, that was the mom that got thrown into the black hole.
Yeah, the little girl was imprisoned in every mirror. All of the mirrors.
Yeah.
The son was frozen
in time as a,
Scarecrow.
Scarecrow. And what happened to
the dad got locked up in chains and tossed down a shaft somewhere, but I don't
remember his entire fate. I just remember that basically, they were all basically trapped for eternity doing this one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the kid who played the,
Son of Mine.
Son of Mine was, he both suited the period and was incredibly creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know, just that contrast from him when he's kind of an ordinary kid to when he has the member of the family in him is just...
Yeah, overall, the Doctor definitely is, I mean, he is very much, I'm going to always give them a chance to walk away. If you don't walk away, he will mess you up.
Except Daleks. Daleks, he does not give them the benefit.
Well, he did.
He does sometimes. Because he gave Dalek Sek quite a lot of opportunity when he was the human Dalek.
He realized that Dalek Sek was actually trying to improve the species. Every other Dalek has been stuck that they're already genetically superior to everybody else, and they're not going anywhere further than that. Dalek Sek was willing to
He was also showing some signs that, you know, basically not that need to exterminate everything, basically.
Yeah.
Which is, you know,
every other Dalek's kind of main thing.
Yeah.
Daleks feel broken if they don't have their...
If they cannot exterminate.
Yes.
If they have feelings. Remember that Dalek in the first season with Rose?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part, the only people that the Doctor kills right away are Cybermen. And even that's iffy, because he knows that if he does that, most Cybermen, he doesn't really have a lot of weapons that can attack the Cybermen.
Yeah.
But he's also kind of bad, too, because you are literally killing a person. Like, when he disabled the emotion inhibitor in the one, the lady recognized, she's like, what am I?
I think in that case, he's doing him a favor.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest.
In most of the cases, when the Doctor actually is, you know, it is his hands that kill someone, is a person who's basically been already so destroyed by whatever's happened to them that they're not who they were.
Yeah. Yeah, the Doctor's an interesting conundrum inside of itself, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And I always like when he has to get something in, how he introduces himself. It's like, I am a Time Lord. I am the last survivor of, what was this planet?
Gallifrey.
I have lived this many hundreds of years, and I'm going to save your lives. Okay, I really liked the speech from the Titanic episode.
Haven't seen that yet.
You haven't seen that yet?
We haven't got, no Titanic yet.
Oh, that's right at the beginning of season 4, that's right.
Mm. Okay, sorry. See, how far along are you? Season 4? Season 5?
Season 4.
Season 4, okay. We've been doing double duty though too. We've been kind of watching, and we kind of went through a splurge. I think we watched 5 episodes yesterday.
And you're trying to get the Hummingbird caught up.
Yes, and so we've hit season 2. We're going to watch the French mechanical marionettes.
The girl in the fireplace. That was a good episode.
I like that episode a lot.
That's a good episode, yeah. So this almost seems like the Doctor Who episode right now.
Yeah.
That works.
Our party's going to be Doctor Who. I got a new counting contest. Hope it works. If it doesn't, I'll just have to grab a random sci-fi anime or something and do it that way.
But we've mostly got our costumes put together.
Had to improv.
Thank you, Goodwill and ARC.
Yeah. Especially especially when you hit it when they have their big 50% off sale. You just got to make sure your color tag matches with the ones they have up there. Yeah, that saved us on his jacket.
Yeah, so I got my jacket for $25 for a leather jacket. So, are you going as the 10th Doctor?
Ninth.
Eccleston.
Oh, that's right.
Eccleston was interesting, too. I kind of felt bad that he only got a season under his
belt. I wish there could have been a bit more. I don't know if it was the writers or if it was, you know, Eccleston wanting to do something else.
Or they felt like maybe it wasn't a good fit. I don't think he was a terrible doctor. I know most people are.
But, I mean, there is one thing is that we're coming into this, into the new stuff. You know, we don't. There are a lot of people watching that have watched like everything before, or at least a lot of the older stuff, and so they have a preconceived notion of what the Doctor ought to be, which may be different than what we are thinking he ought to be based on the newer stuff.
True. And if we really wanted to, we could go into Netflix and watch some of the older stuff. I know
They have
all
a lot
there.
Of the stuff with 4 is available.
Well, I know a lot of the episodes, I think 100 plus episodes have been just poof, lost.
Yeah. Bad archiving, re-recording
over. I think that was mostly
over.
What the first and third Doctors that have just been kind of, are almost non-existent.
But I guess like the episodes where it actually changes from first to second Doctor. You can't find those. They're like some of the most valued episodes ever too. And people actually have come up and like, oh yeah, I bought this in a garage sale, and they'd have an episode of Doctor Who that had been lost.
I'm surprised that like BBC isn't. I wonder if they are kind of scouring around trying to find, you know, people.
They probably are now because let's admit Doctor Who is a lot more popular than it used to be.
Yeah, I mean it had about a 10-year hiatus, I think, in which there was very little being done with it. I'm trying to remember.
At least I understand the appeal now. I remember when we were in New Zealand, and that's, you know, Doctor Who was showing again on television.
Because that was when... Because 2006 was when the new season started, right? Or 2005.
So 2000...
And that was about... I mean, that was just a little bit before I went down there, so...
Yeah, just a year. I mean, because I remember... Because I think it was on Sunday
and
night.
And knowing New Zealand, it was like probably 2006 before they started getting the first season.
Yeah. So I think everybody liked to rush home from church to make sure they could get all their stuff done to be done in time for the new Doctor Who episode. Because I remember the pastor liked it,
and his kids liked it too.
That's always good when you can find something both adults and the kids like. Gives you some common ground point. Well, I think we've talked about the Doctor enough for at least one podcast, or at least for the now. I'm going to go ahead and move on to other TV-related things that are actually related to video games. One of the biggest video game-related television stuff is still on G4 with Attack of the Show and X-Play. At least until December, when they are canceling the shows so G4 can reinvent itself as an Esquire/GQ station for the modern male. That one station is the only reason why I subscribed to cable in the first place, was because I wanted to watch X-Play, and it was just X-Play at the time. Or, you know, the other video game related stuff. Because when G4 bought this, they were the gamer network. They had all sorts of game related TV shows.
Yeah.
Well, eventually that got pared down to only Attack of the Show and G4 and X-Play, whatever specials they put on. And then American Ninja it's American Ninja now. They have a version of that. But, the thing where you have to go do the, I can't talk.
That Obstacle Course
game
show. Yeah.
Yes, that. You know what I'm talking about. You people probably know, too.
It's the one kind of loosely based on the Japanese show, right?
It actually is based on the Japanese show entirely.
Okay.
For a while, they were showing the Japanese
version.
Well,
I know they were. It was translated. I always wonder if they were actually translating the, like, two announcer guys, or they were just, like, MST, you know, 3K-ing it, basically.
No, actually, I could believe that's what the Japanese guys are saying. I could believe that. But anywho, they had that, and then it was Cops and Cheaters.
I swear that was the only four things that that damn channel ever showed. Occasionally they'd have a movie, but basically it was X-Play, Attack of the Show, Ninja Warrior, Cops and Cheaters.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, what it comes down to, I think, for me is that gamers have a choice. They can either play games or watch television about games, and so it's like...
Yeah, occasionally I will now go to the website to see, you know what, previews and stuff. Like, I posted a video they had of a game called Fuse, which was originally classified as Overstrike.
I think it just comes down to their audience is not wanting to watch television that much. Is basically what it is the problem. Is that, you know, I don't want to sit down and watch a TV about games. I want to play games.
I like watching.
I'd rather watch TV about other stuff. You know, if I'm going to spend time watching television, I want it to be, I don't know, a bit more meaningful, I guess.
I did enjoy stuff like the interviews with creators of the games or stuff like that was always entertaining. But I don't know. I won't watch it. This will probably be the last nail in the coffin of me ever getting paying for TV again, or at least, you know, cable and stuff like that.
Well, you have another in your household that might.
If she wants it, she can pay for it.
Because I know she is hooked on like HGTV and stuff.
When I canceled it, I was paying $80 a month. I like not paying that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we pay $16 now a month, but that's everything on Hulu plus Netflix.
So we could really, I mean, we could justify actually getting the Funimation subscription and still not be paying as much as we pay for cable.
Exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous. Eventually, cable's going to have to reinvent itself someday.
Cable's going to have, I think, as long as it keeps this push for, like, streaming content and stuff, things are going to have to give at some point. I think there's a lot of things that need to give. Cable, internet service, cell phones.
I mean, I guess what it is people basically have, you know, discovered that I can now watch the shows I like when I'm ready to watch them. I don't have to schedule my life around when
it airs.
Yeah, when it airs. You know, I don't have to, like, clear my, I don't know, Tuesday night to watch Lost or, I don't know. I'm just making up things. I have no idea, but yeah.
CW just recently started airing Arrow.
What is CW? CW what used to be WB?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I was like, I assume this, but I missed this transition at some point.
It's the country western channels. Always what pops to my head first.
But yeah, so they recently started showing Arrow. I forgot it started airing at the beginning of this month. If I had to depend on watching it on the network or cable, I would be screwed because I would have missed the first three episodes. But it's on Hulu. I watched the first three episodes in 2 days.
Yeah. I guess the only thing I don't like about watching things on Hulu is the delay. That I have to basically, like, if I want to watch The Daily Show, I'm having to watch a day later. Which means that, especially with, like, when the debates were occurring, they record in, you know, during the day. The Daily Show and Colbert record during the day before the debates actually take place. So it's actually the day after the debates that they have coverage of it. And so then it's 2 days on from the debate that I'm actually getting to watch them make fun of the debate.
It was really funny watching the Daily Show talk about how people were mocking his interview with Obama on the not optimal comment. He's like, now if only he would have said something about being a tragedy.
Thinking about him like it's like tragedy. 5 seconds before the other, yes. It's like,
yes, if he had done that! I like the way the Daily Show puts in clips of random stuff.
I do like their, you know, the work of their archivists and librarians is basically amazing that they can go back and, you know, find, you know, they have a recent clip of a pundit saying stupid thing. And they go back and, you know, they can find a clip from like a year ago or less sometimes saying the opposite thing. It's like, do you listen to yourself, pundit? Do you actually have anything that you really believe in, or you just say things?
I think they just say things in politics a lot. Anywho, but yeah, I do agree. The delay can be annoying sometimes, like especially when I sit down on Monday and the most recent show is Fridays. Or no, it's Thursdays because
they don't record on Friday. Yeah.
It's like, oh, so I have to wait till tomorrow to watch one of the newest episodes. Okay.
Yeah, we basically watch Tuesday through Friday night the week.
Yeah, Care Bear and I started doing that as well. Since now she gets off at like 4 o'clock, we actually have our evenings together.
Yay!
For those of you who don't know, for a long time, me and my wife, she worked like 12 to 8 or 4 to midnight, and I would work like 6 to 2:45 or 8 to 4:45, so we didn't see a lot of each other.
Really, through various periods of time, for the last like 7 years or so, you guys have had very different work schedules of the time.
When she worked at the school, we had pretty similar school work
schedules. Oh yeah, I forgot about that stint. But it's like before when she was working with the troubled teens, she was working like the midnight
to 9:30
shift, yeah. And then...
So us getting to actually see each other at night is awesome to me.
Did her schedule get permanently changed?
I don't know. It's been this way for about 2 months, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Because she has, like, there's her supervisor, a girl above her, and then her for seniority.
So maybe she's hit the seniority point now.
I'm hoping so.
Oh, we finished watching Helsing. I just forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What a non-ending.
Yeah, thank you. The first one was bad. It had kind of a non-ending. You're like, what happened? And this one, you're like, okay.
At least this one, like, you kind of get somewhat of an arc of at least, you know, it's Alucard and Paladin Anderson, you know, as, like, really the kind of the arch nemesis in it. And it's like... The Nazi guy is actually just kind of a distraction. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's like, and there's all this stuff that hasn't gotten tied up whatsoever, and you're like, really? Really? We're leaving it like this again? I'm sorry. I'm like...
Maybe the writer never actually wrote an actual ending, since this stuff was supposed to be following the manga. Guess we'd actually have to read the manga to see if there's a non-ending in that too, huh?
Uh-huh. I don't have all this time and money to do that anymore.
Actually, our library carries manga. You might be able to catch it from
them. Is true. I could, you know, request it because we can get it from any library in the Jefferson County area.
Just hooray! If that's something that happened to have stocked. Because they have, like, the really popular things and kind of the really classic things, at least.
Helsing might be defined as classic. I always find it funny, though, when it's like I was at Anythink library.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is the children's section. Manga shouldn't be in the children's section.
Certain
things can be there. Ours is it's in like the young adult section, And then some of the more politically acclaimed stuff, like Akira and things, are in with the graphic novels, in with like the non-
The Western stuff, like in the with like things like Mouse and what other big Western things are there? They're actually, I mean, I guess, you know, some just like comics things, you know, like
the trade,
the big trade paperbacks. So, like, you know,
I actually prefer buying trades than just the individual episodic versions, because then I don't have to wait for them to come out. I just buy the one big thing, and there's my story arc.
Yeah, I have bought in my life, I think, 12 comic books. I am not a comic book guy. It is just. The problem is, like, when I was trying to get into stuff, it was the 90s, and that was when comics, like Marvel at least, was insane! this was when Spider-Man was in the Clone Saga, which is, like, what is going on? There's, like, this guy who thinks he's Spider-Man and is a clone, and there's this guy who maybe is Spider-Man, but maybe he's a clone too, but... my brain melts after like 2 issues of that, and I was like, F Spider-Man, I'm done.
I'll bring over the Darkest Night series from DC. That was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I looked at that a little bit when I was at your house one time, and I was like, this is actually pretty good. So
I'll bring that over sometime for you. I think I don't have much else to talk about. I was surprised we were able to fill 30 minutes, though.
Well, we talked about Doctor Who a lot.
We did.
Yeah. And we can finish our discussion from pre-podcast, if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, the engineering thing.
Okay, so we were discussing about the... Before we start recording, we do just a little bit of us not talking. I can't say it's silence, because there is a little bit of background noise that we then basically try and capture and use Audacity to filter out. We were talking about the furnace makes noise. And... a lot of that noise is due to turbulence of flow in the ductwork in the house, you know, plus the fan and the motor and such. But a lot of it is just turbulence of flow. It's just the air not basically moving as, you know, perfect little sheets of particles. It is the particles kind of go up and down as they're moving through the duct. And so they're banging basically up and down, up to the top and bottom, the ducts and sides.
And they vibrate them.
And they vibrate it. Similar, you asked me, could you make a furnace that didn't make noise? And then it was basically like, well, you could, but it'll cost you an awful lot of money, which is really the sum of a lot of engineering problems. My friend Brian, who I work with, you know, basically kind of summed this up really good. It's like, pretty much anyone can design and build something. In the sense that you can make something that will stand up because you will just put so much support in it, and it'll cost a lot, but it will stand up. This is pretty much how stuff was built before we really understood engineering. You know, this is like, you know, Gothic cathedrals, Roman structures and such. They didn't really do calculations. They went off of experience that, you know, we built this thing like this, and it was okay. We built this other thing like this, and it didn't work. So if we go more and build our new structure more like the one that worked, the new one should be okay. They weren't using science. They weren't using math to do that. Now we understand the math and science a lot better, and we were able to say, okay, these are the forces at work, and this is what is likely to happen if you build a building or any other structure or, you know, piece of technology in such a way. What engineering really comes down to is optimizing for cost and performance. It's basically saying, this is how, you know, it's basically finding a good balancing point of this will perform well and it will not cost an excessive amount of money. And that was pretty much it.
Okay.
That was the nerd talk of the day.
Well, we'll go ahead and end it there then. I am working on writing the Dishonored review. It should be up as soon as I get enough ambition to finish it after my car accident. Woohoo! Car accidents! This month sucks!
It's almost over!
Thank God. In the meantime, you guys can visit us at thegameslave.com, where you can find said review once it's up, along with the articles that we write and any news posts that I get ambitious enough to put up. In the meantime, y'all have a great week, and game on!
Game on!
Game on!